Well, there are some challenging questions in life, and we've got one in front of us today, that's for certain. Amongst the challenging questions in life, you know, come some really big ones, like, you know, when will England ever win the World Cup? When might we have a win at Wimbledon, ladies, men's, or ladies' singles? Well, we're doing pretty well, actually, but, you know, you really want some things, don't you? And I really hope that by the time I finish this session today, we'll all be a bit wiser on this really difficult subject that is posed to us. The question that's set out in the book of Job, this question of pain and suffering in the world. Let me just make sure I've got my technology organized. So suffering's up there with the really big issues and questions of life, isn't it? The big three are often said to be money, sex, and power. What are the answers to those? And some amongst us might say, well, to have more of each, please. But that would be very simplistic, wouldn't it? We know that simple answers of rarely the right ones to life's complex questions. And suffering, the question of pain and suffering in the world, is very complex. It's always been with us. It's one of those problems that addresses itself to every generation and every individual, because every individual will know in their own experience about the problems of pain and suffering. And my guess would be that everyone in this room, in different ways, will have struggled with that. I hope to provide some insight, some understanding, and I will provide what I believe to be the answer from Christian teaching and from my own experience. And I'll try and bring those together, and I'll try and help you to reflect on that in your own experience. And I hope that you'll be able to leave from here with some ability to think through and pray through the answers to the questions. So at the heart of things, you read through this passage from Job and you think, well, who's in charge here? Is God God? In terms of the way the story's written, he sounds a pretty capricious character, doesn't he? It sounds rather like the Greek god would have their whims with man. But let me place this for you in the context of when the story was written, what it was trying to do, and how we may bring forward the Old Testament experience with this very early writing of the book of Job to our experience in the good news that Jesus Christ brings to give meaning and purpose to life. I'm going to take us therefore on quite a long journey very quickly. I want to start actually with the first reading that came from the Gospel of John. And you may have noticed, if you've got a familiarity with this passage, that it seemed to stop a verse early. Because Jesus asked the question, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" When people had asked of Jesus, "This is really hard teaching that you've given us here. How can we live with this? How can we accept this? We've tried to put our trust in you, but you tell us we have to feed on you. You tell us that you are the bread of life. What's that all about?" And many people at that point turned away. They couldn't follow Jesus further at that time. And that's what gives rise to Jesus saying, "Do you want to leave me too?" And this is the verse that for me is key into the understanding of the subject that we have before us now. "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. That's where I'm going today. Where would we go other than to Jesus Christ? My own answer in my own life is that that's where I go. That's where I find meaning, purpose, and understanding, such as one might, of these really difficult questions that are in front of us. So who's in charge here? Well, God is in charge, but it's a really difficult subject. Answer that Jesus, a simple and straightforward one. People at the time found it difficult. But Peter got right to the heart of the matter. Where shall we go? Where else shall we find truth? You have the words of eternal life. Let me do a bit of clicking and see if this works. So, how do we respond personally? How do we respond generally to this question of suffering? We're asked to look at the suffering of one man here, Job, and to briefly share the story with you. Job had already been afflicted by disaster of bankruptcy. He'd had his life ripped apart within 48 hours. And now we find him at the point where he comes to suffer this second test of the breakdown of his health. And that can be set in the wider question of people throughout time and in our own experience, suffering problems of health and breakdown of family life, of hardship of all kinds, and struggling to find answers. So we face the question individually, we face the question on behalf of those we love and care for, and we face the problem in the world writ large, to which we have no immediate presenting answer. What about the horrors under the Pol Pot regime in Cambodia? What about the people who are refugees now and losing their lives in Syria, in Iraq? What about the Rohingya people that have had to flee their homes? These things are the most awful, awful sufferings. And how are we to make sense of that? The book gives us some insight. We're going to share that, and we'll see how we go. So over coming weeks, we're going to try and give the Christian perspective that I've described. We're going to try and look at the way that our experience in our own lives of Christian faith can bring meaning and purpose. And we're going to try and relate that to resources that are available in our modern world that speak to the subject. So, for example, if you wish, at the end of the service, you can get from Louise or Kath the Christian Union resource that gives a day-by-day reading through Job, an interpretation of it, over about a week's reading. There are great resources available on things like Audible, where you can listen to David Suchet reading through the book of Job as part of the Old Testament. And there's a lot of stuff there to read over the next few weeks. C.S. Lewis' book on the problem of pain. I've never read that, but I think that I loved C.S. Lewis's readings and books in other areas, and I hope that that will give a good deal of insight into it. And we're going to be looking for this not only to be, you know, if you like, an academic exercise. We are looking for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that will help us to understand what's going on. Because we should understand that the book of Job was actually written somewhere around about 1000 BC. It was written before Socrates or Aristotle or Plato. It's the very earliest seekings for wisdom And it goes along with the wisdom literature of the book of Psalms in the Bible, of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and that book on love, the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, as it's sometimes called. So the story so far, one man's experience, but universal application, a good and upright man, prosperous and secure. Within 48 hours, his world falls apart, terrorism, bankruptcy, and bereavement. And as Louise said to us on our introduction 2 weeks ago, Job reacts with what we might call an even when faith. Even when everything goes wrong, Job says that he will turn to God rather than away from God. So there is a choice that we individually can pick up from this story, that in our own circumstances, we always have a choice about how we're going to react to the suffering that is afflicting us or facing us. Indifference to it, or trying to, should I say, pretend it's not there, doesn't give an answer. You have to address it in your own life in a way that brings an answer, whatever that answer will be for you. And from a Christian perspective, we say the answer is to turn to God, and I'll be trying to explain why as we go through this talk now. And as we go on to today's reading, things take this further turn for the worse. Job is afflicted by a breakdown in his health, and it's a pretty severe breakdown. He just wants to be dead, it's near fatal, that's for sure. And his wife is the first person in the story who... And on the face of it, that would seem to be a pretty hard opinion. You know, why don't you curse God and die? But we have to understand that Job's wife here is also suffering. Her family had died. She and her husband had been together suffering these experiences. And do you know how very often it is? You feel so much for the people that are close to you. You're trying to share their experience and help them through it. She's just in a sense of helpless crisis herself, and she doesn't know where to go. And so this is not a hard woman speaking in different words. This is a woman at the end of her tether saying, we're at the end here. Why don't you just let it all go? Curse God and die. Thank goodness Job didn't do that. Thank goodness that he said, I'm going to persevere and go on. And as the story unfolds, he has three friends who come and meet with him and talk to him. They're not very wise counselors, as it turns out. You often hear the expression, comforters of Job. Comforter of Job is somebody that comes along and doesn't share terribly helpful advice to you, such as, well, I wouldn't have started from here. Well, okay, but, you know, that's where I am. My father always used to say, well, I did tell you. And very often, he was right. But it was infuriating when I was a teenager, I have to say. And these friends share with him the story. We'll explore that over coming weeks. And at the end of the story, God himself enters the equation and the dialogue. And I'm not going to steal another's thunder by saying yet what God said at that time. I'm going to stay where we are. And we're going to look at the Christian basis for responding to suffering. So what we've seen as we look at the story of Job is the problem of suffering writ large. What we've seen in the reading from the New Testament in the book of John that we shared with you is the problem of problems of life brought to a one-to-one relationship between me and God, or between any individual and God. Where will you turn to now? Will you leave me also? And what I want to do is to share some words with you from my own experience and testimony that reflect the fact that the only way to go that leads us to a truthful and helpful answer is to turn to God. So the Bible deals with this openly and honestly. There's pain right through this story, but there is an answer at the end. And the answer, when we bring it forward from Old Testament to New Testament, is found in the words of Jesus when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. You know, I am the living bread. I give nourishment." So I want to share with you a story from my own experience. We might say testimony of what has happened in my life. And it's actually not one story. It's several strung together. When I was a teenager, and it was at this time of year, I was watching Wimbledon, and my mum was undoing wire from a parcel that she was unpacking. And the wire sprang out of her hand and penetrated my eye. That was my first experience, I think, of something going really horribly, terribly wrong in my life. I think I was about 14 when this happened. I had to be rushed off to hospital. My eye gradually kind of clouded over, so I lost vision. The hospital told me I'd got a perforating injury to the cornea, and that it was possible I would lose sight in both eyes as a worst case, because there is a sympathy reaction between the eyes, as I remember them putting it. So I had to have an operation that repaired the tear in the cornea, and that it then gave rise to the blindness from a cataract, which was what's called a traumatic cataract. It develops after injury very often, rather than age. Had to therefore then have an operation to remove the cataract. The interesting aspect of the story in relation to suffering is that although this made no sense to me personally at the time, how could it make sense to everyone? It was a ghastly experience for my mum and dad. What happened surrounding that was really interesting. My mum and dad were close to a marriage breakdown. They'd not been living happily together for a number of years. My mum had been brought up as a Catholic and was a Catholic. My dad was agnostic. They had very different spiritual views of the world. But I was out with my dad at the shops, and somebody put what's called a tract into his hand, a leaflet from a local church. And it talked about people finding hope in hard situations and people finding healing, spiritual and physical. Dad took me along to this church. It was in Birmingham. And I think he primarily was looking for me to find healing physically from this eye injury that could still threaten my sight. He found faith, strangely. At that time, they preached what you call a gospel message, that Jesus was the way, the truth, the life. He found faith. He found meaning and purpose in life. And over the years that came, it completely transformed his life and my parents' relationship. My dad died early from asbestosis, which was another experience of... But he died a man who then believed in God. He'd had his life transformed. I, in a sense, found healing in a different way, because as technology progressed, I was able to have a micro contact lens. I wear it to this day. My vision is pretty much perfect while I'm wearing my contact lens in my left eye, but I didn't find the simple solution, if you like, that my dad had been looking for, first of all, of my own healing. But what we found in our family life, in a sense, was something much greater. My dad found the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. My mum and dad had their lives transformed. And I've always since been perplexed by this question of how that situation of suffering was both hard and, may I say, evil in one sense, and at the same time was transformative. It brought about so many good things. And then I cast forward, and I'm going to tell you another story, and Liz and I are now married, or were they married in this time, and we had two young children, and I was faced with redundancy, faced with the situation. We were living in the Midlands. The car industry in which I worked at the time as an accountant in the car industry just falling apart. You know, nobody wanted to buy a British car. I was made redundant, couldn't find another job locally. Pressurized, traumatic time. I can remember going to work in this time leading up to redundancy, crying in the car. This was a very private male crying. Men don't cry. Well, this one did, but in a very private way. The point I'm making is it went to the very heart of my being. I just did not know where we were going as a family. Well, God brought us through it. We came here, and life opened up in a new and different way. Through that experience, painful though it was, we clung to God. Fortunately, Liz had the wisdom not to say, curse God and die, or, you know, she had the wisdom to be supportive and say, we'll find a way through this. And actually, we did share with our local church, and they prayed with us and for us. It brought us here, a new life opened up, and we're still here in the church today. Then would you believe I was made redundant a second time? Perhaps not such a common, not such an uncommon experience in today's world. That took me in a way and a path that was completely unexpected again. It took me into the world of self-employment, which, funnily enough, Jimmy at the back was very helpful at the time in introducing me to the world of consultancy, because he was a consultant with a local consultant. And he introduced me to this world of consultancy and was able to make a living as a self-employed accountant in the world, and this is where people's eyes usually glaze over, IT and finance consultancy, you know, with a thing called Oracle Financials Software. Well, I'll say no more about Oracle Financial Software or IT, you'll be pleased to hear. But the point of the story is that God brought us through a period of suffering. It was not physical suffering then. It was the kind of suffering that you'll all know through the things that worry you and weigh you down and cause you to think, what is the meaning and purpose in my life here? What's going on in my life? Why do bad things happen to good people? I've recently retired. Finally. And so I've left the work of IT and finance behind me in these mega projects. And praise God for him bringing us through this time and through this experience. So what's the point? What am I trying to say to you through all this? It is that you will have your own experiences, and they'll have some elements in common, but they'll all be different. But you will have your own experience of pain and suffering. And you will know that there are no easy answers to them. But in that, I want to say to you, God is sovereign. God is in charge if you put your life in his hands. The story of Job, as we run it through to the end, is that story. It is the story of when you put your life in God's hands, he provides meaning, purpose, and truth. And that meaning, purpose, and truth lasts right through to eternity, because God didn't make us for this life only, he made us for this life and to enjoy him forever. So, finally, consider this point that Jesus makes. Will you leave me also? Is my answer too hard for you? That I am the bread of life, I give you meaning and purpose. He who lives in me will find life and find it abundantly. No, it's not too hard. My experience is that therein lies the answer to pain and suffering. It is not an academically satisfactory answer, but it is the answer that will go to the very depth of your being, and it is the truest answer that can be given. The answer is that Jesus gives meaning, purpose. He is the bread of life.